Okay, so this is the Late Night Truth Lounge, episode number 10. I'm your main man, John LeBond, coming to you from beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria, where the spring is here and there's a spring in my step. Boy, it makes a big difference when it is warm and you can just walk around and bask in the sunlight. And enough about all of that. So this is episode 10. Today we're talking about my flat earths. And I'm talking to you right now with my hand in my I've got my head in my hands. I'm really disappointed that this is still a thing. All these years later, it's still a thing. But it is a thing, and I got some kind of cool voicemails left a week or so ago from somebody who maybe is still new to the topic and seems genuinely interested in trying to learn, which I think most people who talk about Flat Earth don't want to learn anything. The people on one side and the people on the other side, they're not interested in learning. God love him, God bless him. But this guy sounds like he's actually interested. So I'm going to play his voicemail messages and I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to read your live comments as well, those of you who are listening live. Of course, I do take these live streams and then the next day I convert the live stream into an audio that I upload as an MP3. And for that, I get rid of the dead air and all of the technical stuff at the beginning and any other nonsense that I have to get rid of. And I clean it all up and make it a nice polished MP3 for you to stream or download via Podbean or via whatever your podcast app is, because most people listen to this stuff through podcast apps. For people who are a bit more old-fashioned, like me, you can also just download it and then put it on your phone or your MP3 player and listen to it at your leisure offline. So for those of you who are listening live, that doesn't really apply to you. I'm just explaining that that is a possibility. You can access this and all of the other late-night truth lounges via Podbean or via johnlebond.com for free. I do this, I produce this content, and I hope that people enjoy it and they get something out of it. And we're not just going to talk about Flat Earth today, but that will be the first half hour or so, I should think, because I've got these voicemails to reply to. Now, on your screen, for those of you who are watching, on your screen is a screenshot from a TV show that I think deserves, like, this should be known. In the same way that people know about the black monolith that was standing across from the World Trade Center on September 11, most people know about that. People know about the 9/11 sinks in Back to the Future. Most of you probably know about that. Most of you probably know about the Super Bowl that followed September 11 and how the Patriots, the New England Patriots, took that Super Bowl in a some might say a synchromystic fashion, some might say. Most people know about all of that. Somehow they don't know about this. Somehow until a week ago, I didn't know about this. And it blows me away. So I hope to come back and talk about this later on. For those of you who are listening, you're like, JLB, we can't see. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a shot from a TV show called Quantum Leap, and a dude scores a touchdown. And in the background, it says four down, two to go, fourth quarter. A blatant 4-2-4 in an episode that seems to predict what would happen in real life just a few years later. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I've discovered some things in the last, say, 5 or 6 days that have shaken me to the depths. Come on, guys, you know the words. Play along with me here. Shaken me to the depths of. Let's see who's the first person in the live stream comments to get it. Speaking of which, let's go to those live stream comments and what all the people have to say. We've got a bunch of people in there. Jinder Lee's in there. Mad X is in there. Dirty Benny says hello. Hello to you, Dirty Benny. Waterman Chris is in the room. Skeptically Challenged is there as well. K Sharp 23. They Lie We See says greetings from Minca in Colombia. And that's Colombia spelt with an O. So I guess they're in South America. I guess. So come on, folks. Shaken me to the depths of. Come on, you know the answer. Who's there? It is skeptically challenged. Man, that's a mouthful of a username. Skeptically challenged. What a mouthful. Yeah, so he got it right. To my miserable soul. That's right, guys. I've discovered some stuff in the last 5 or 6 days that I don't understand how I didn't already know about this, because I have listened to a lot of people talking about sync. I've read the sync books. I've watched a lot of YouTube videos over the last 10 years. And I like to think I've done a lot of research to work out what is good stuff and what is bad stuff. And yet somehow, this Quantum Leap TV show, there's an episode that seems to predict a Super Bowl, and then in the episode there are other things that happen that seem to tie in, believe it or not. I know this sounds crazy, just bear with me, with a Christopher Nolan Batman film, which itself ties in with stuff that's been happening in the real world, in this place that we live in, this actual reality, in the last few weeks. It's very strange stuff. So I'll come back and talk about that later on. But first, I need to talk about these voicemail messages, which we'll do in just a moment. So for those of you who are listening, like I said, there's a screenshot and it shows the touchdown with a kid wearing number 86, just like Hines Ward in Batman. What's it called? Dark Knight Rises. The number 86 scores a touchdown as the stadium is being exploded. And that stadium was built to replace another stadium whose construction and demolition dates tie in with the World Trade Center. Guys, I know this sounds crazy. Really, I know it sounds crazy. I know, when you just say this stuff like this to a normal person, they're like, what the hell are you talking about, man? What are you talking? I get it. I get it. But when you look at it step by step and connect the dots, it seems to me that something very important is being communicated to us. Now, is it being communicated by directors, producers, actors, script writers, prop, like set design, prop designers? Maybe. Or is it being communicated via these people, but they're just proxies, just vessels for something bigger? And if that's the case, what is that something bigger? And what is the point of these messages? Those are the questions and so much more that we're going to come back and talk about later on in this here live stream. This is Late Night Truth Lounge, episode number 10. And like I said, I'm coming to you from beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria. It's almost midnight here, which means it's only like, what, 5 p.m. on the US East Coast. Not really late night for you guys. I understand that. And I could have started this stream in 2 or 3 hours. But I was like, no, I've got other things I would rather be doing. Of course, what I'm not doing tonight is going out, because I'm still not drinking. 11 weeks and counting. 11 weeks of sobriety. But I've got a coffee. This is my third coffee of the day. This is the closest I have to indulging in the brownest of the brown liquors. What's that? You want me to drink you? But I'm in the middle of a trial. David, I'm really tempted. Just take it one day at a time and know that I'll always love you. I love you too, man. In the live stream chat, who can tell me what that's from? That line that I just did? What's that from? Tell me. What TV show is that from? And what's the name of the character? He was voiced by a guy who was later murdered by his own wife in real life, according to the real story. Not that I don't want to bring death into the room, but that is a story. By the way, I forgot to mention, I've got quite a feature that I'm very happy with here. Check this out.
Accidents can happen. I think I need to explain this again to you.
Okay, now let me know in the live stream chat if that audio is coming through at a decent level. That's my soundboard through Discord. So when I'm streaming this via Discord, I can use my soundboard. And I've got no less than 30 of those clips. They're not all Dave J, but quite a few of them are, such as this one.
You're a corpse. Yeah, you're a spiritual corpse. You might as well be a meat puppet walking around.
Some of them are more clear than others. Anyway, I've got a soundboard feature, which I'm super happy with. And so I'll be playing some soundboard clips as we go through the show as well. And then if we get time, I'm going to pop into the Fakeologist Discord server and chat with the lovely people of Fakeologist.com. I'll see what they're talking about. I'll be like, hey guys, are you cool if we live stream? So your Fakeologist live stream, are you cool if I live stream that via my YouTube? You guys can be on the Late Night Truth Lounge if you want. That's what I'll say to them. And then they might say, no, JLB, we don't want to be on your live stream, even though we're already doing a live stream. Even though we're already doing one, we don't want it. They might say that. And if that's the case, I'll respect what they have to say. But chances are, they'll be like, yeah, of course, why not? The more people who listen to us talking about these things, the better. Because they probably believe that they're talking about important things. And sometimes they do. I've got some good stuff from the Fakeologist Discord server over these good ideas. Or I've heard different perspectives that I hadn't heard before, different discussions. And of course, I take some of those discussions and upload them as JLB chats, which you can access through the JLB Podbean and whatever Podbean apps you guys use. So what's my point? Oh yeah, my point is we've got lots to do today. So without further ado, I'm going to read your live stream comments right now, just a few more, and then we're going to go through this voicemail. Speaking of which, before we get to that, you can leave a voicemail at johnlebon.com for free. I pay like $20 a month or something. Was it 15 US? I can't remember. See this? You just go here to leave a message. You press start recording. For example, I'll give you an example. Suppose you wanted to leave a voicemail and say, hey, JLB, look, I don't agree with you about everything, but I like these shows that you put out, that you take the time to do, and then you polish them the next day, publish them for free for the world, for hundreds and hundreds of people around the world to listen to. So I just wanted to say thanks. Suppose you wanted to say that. You would go to johnlebon.com. That's johnlebon.com. And then let me just zoom out for those of you watching this. So this is johnlebon.com, as you can see. And then you zoom in here. We don't have to zoom in. That's just what I'm doing, so you can see this better. Then you go to start recording. It says need access to your microphone. So then you just click yes, I think is what you click. What's the button? Yeah, allow. There we go. And now we're recording. Okay, so max duration is 5 minutes. So, hey, JLB, man, I was listening to your latest Late Night Truth Lounge, and I know that you are disappointed that people are still talking about Flat Earth, even though you debunked it years ago. But I still like listening to these conversations. So thanks, and keep up the great work at the Late Night Truth Lounge. All right? Then you press stop. Then you can put your name or your email optional. And then you go to send, right? And you can even play it back. Check this out. Now, there we go. And now we're recording. Okay, so max duration is 5 minutes. So, hey, JLB, man, I was listening to your latest Late Night Truth Lounge, and I know that you are disappointed that people are still... Okay, so you get the idea. Then you can press reset and re-record, or you can press send, and then it comes to me via my email, and then I can play your voicemail for one of these Late Night Truth Lounges. You see, it's a very straightforward system, and some people have decided to use this system, and I appreciate it, which is why we're going to go and play some of Winston's voicemails, which I received a week or two ago. Before we get to that, just a few more live stream comments. About 30 people around the world watching live right now. These live streams usually get between 20 and 50 live viewers. Sometimes more, but usually not much more than 50. Validation Boy is in the house. Actually, I don't want to say anything. I don't like to count any chickens before they hatch, but I've got a very good feeling that I'll get to speak with VB and listen to his story about how he got into all of this and the highs and the lows of covering FE back in the day and what he's been doing since. I can't wait to hear his whole story. And I think we might have a conversation coming up. I think so. I don't like to count these chickens before they hatch, because sometimes you organize a guest and you've got a time and a date, and then for whatever reason the guest can't make it, or they change their minds, whatever. Booking guests for a podcast, you'd be surprised how much time and effort goes into just organizing the guests. You really would. But most of the time it works out well. And so hopefully with VB we'll get something done. I can't wait to speak to him. That should be fun. Who else is in the live stream chat? We've got Katerina is in there. She's happy to see that there's another Late Night Truth Lounge. Jindalee is in the... There he goes. Jindalee's got it. The Simpsons. Lionel Hutz. Very good. Have I got a sound effect? Like a happy sound effect? No, I don't. But instead, I've got this for you.
You like being that dog. That's you like dog being part. That tough guy.
Can you guys hear that? Let me know in the live stream chat if you can hear these sounds. Because if you can't, it kind of defeats the whole purpose. Here's another one.
I can't hear my wife's voice anymore. I see her lips moving, but nothing comes out. My wife says I repeat my... She says I don't listen at all anymore.
Can you guys hear those? Please let me know in the live stream chat if you can hear those soundboard drops. Man, it makes such a big difference, the soundboard. To me, anyway. Look, I listen to a lot of podcasts. A lot. And so I like, and I also release them. I publish them. I've been podcasting for 10 years. So I like to think I've got some idea of what kind of things make shows better and what kinds of things make shows worse. I've got some idea. And a well-done soundboard, it just makes a podcast, it takes it to a different dimension, a different level, in my personal opinion. So I'm looking forward to implementing this soundboard function more as we go forward. For those of you who are thinking to yourselves, why is it such a big deal? because I haven't had a soundboard. I've wanted one for years and years. I've tried to install, there's this program called Voice Meter Banana, and I've tried to install this, no word of a lie, three times. So there's been three different times over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years where I've tried to install this program, and then you have to change this setting and then change this setting and then change this setting on Windows. And it's this process you go through. So you follow the videos that try to explain how to do it. And it's like 10 or 12 steps, which would be fine if it worked. But then you get to the end of it and it doesn't work. And you're like, okay, so I'll trace my steps. And you go, and it just doesn't work. And then you find out there's all these other people online who have the same problems. And it's like, what? I just want to play a soundboard. And that's the easy part. Getting a soundboard, putting all the clips, that's the easy part. The hard part is getting the sounds to play through your microphone while you're recording. That's the hard part. And so on three different occasions over the last 6 years, I have set aside time to get it to work. And by the end of it, you think to yourself, I want to take this computer and throw it out the window. That's what I want to do. And I'm sick of it. So anyway, so I stopped trying anymore. And then Discord added this function where now you can just upload clips to Discord and play the soundboard through Discord. So that's what I'm doing. So I don't have a full soundboard. It's only like 30 or 32 clips, but that's still enough to have some fun. And that's what we're going to do once we get really warmed up. I'm just finishing my third coffee of the day here in beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria. And once we're all warmed up, folks, we're going to listen to some voicemails. We're going to read some live stream comments. We're going to play some soundboard. We might even pop into the Fakeologist Discord live on the air. That should be some fun. And if I get time, I want to tell you about this Quantum Leap episode. And some people already know that it seems to predict a Super Bowl that followed it. What I don't think they know is what else happens in that episode. And since most people are like, I don't care enough to go and download the episode and watch it, why would you? Fair enough. I did go and do that. And what I discovered, I should have me on this soundboard. I should have a soundboard clip of me saying, shook me to the depths of my miserable soul. Instead, I've got clips like this.
Dodo, stand up. You are no longer extinct.
Thank you, Dave J. All right. A few more live stream comments. Linda Curtis is in. Hey, Linda, I'm going to be on the Fakeologist Discord in about an hour. And depending on who's in the room and what they're talking about and whether or not I'm welcome with my live stream, there's a chance I'll be there. So if you pop into the Discord, maybe we can get some of your thoughts. Because as you know, Linda, I'm a big fan of yours for one reason in particular. And that is that 3 years ago, when all of the Chicken Littles were talking about the jibby jabbies and a mass die-off, you were the one saying, actually, I'm not convinced we should be as worried about this mass die-off as you guys are saying. Those are my words, not yours. But that was the point you were trying to make. And I was like, yeah, good. Because I don't believe there's going to be a mass die-off. And I don't like this idea of people putting this idea into people's heads. Oh, if everyone takes the jibbies, there's going to be a mass... No, there isn't. Well, I didn't know if there would or would not be. But I thought there probably wouldn't be. And so far, there hasn't been. So all of those people 3 years ago saying there would be, what were they basing that on? It was just fear porn, wasn't it? And for what reason? What good does it serve? So, Linda, I'll never forget, you're one of the very few people challenging the hive mind. All right. Katarina says, JLB Trivia had that cheerful bunch of kids going, yay! You know what? I think I can add that. I think I can add that clip. It has to be less than 5 seconds. I've got that in a separate soundboard. What I'll do is I'll play it. We need to take a break in a minute. Once we take a break during the musical interlude, I'll see if I can add the yay to my Discord soundboard. Okay, so Mark Delgado says you should add a line for live callers. Okay, so Mark Delgado, that's a terrific idea. I have something similar to that. You can join me right now live on the JLB Discord server. Right now, I'm in the room as we speak. That's how I can use the Discord soundboard function. If you're not on the JLB Discord server, okay, that's a problem. You can join the Fakeologist Discord server. I'll be there in an hour and we can talk about whatever you want. In, you know, whatever you want, depending on who else is in the room. Because if there's other people in the room and they're talking about... What do they talk about at Fakeologist these days? They talk about... Do two-stroke engines have... intake valves? Was that what they were talking about? Can't remember. Something to do with that. The two-stroke engines have valves. Okay, something like that. That was a big topic of conversation a couple of weeks ago. What else are they talking about? Orange juice. Is orange juice good for you? If you do drink orange juice, what's the best type to drink? What else are they talking about? There were some people in there saying that they think there's going to be a mass awakening and there's going to be a resistance. And the stuff that we see happening at the moment, particularly in Western Europe and in one or two of the Nordic countries with a takeover that's going on, there were people saying they think that that's going to stop. There's going to be some uprising. And I remember I was in there at the time and I was like, guys, what are you talking about? What the hell are you talking? And these guys seems to believe that there was going to be like a mass uprising. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Here, let me tell you how Western Europe is going to be. If it isn't already, here's how it's going to be in one generation. All right? Whether we like it or not, that is the future for Western Europe. And there is no uprising coming. Nobody's going to stop this. A lot of people are going to complain about it. Sure. But no one's actually going to stop it. That's my personal opinion, folks, okay? I could be wrong. But the evidence, I think, is fairly clear. So, just a couple more live stream comments and we'll get on with the show. David Sawyer says, valves, chambers, blocks, and petrol. Clockwork 113. I think he might have... Was he in one of those calls that I was talking about? Can't remember. Anyway, so now, guys, we need to get to the voicemails. Like I said, you can leave voicemails for the next Late Night Truth Lounge. Speaking of which, if you want to access any of the previous Late Night Truth Lounges, you just go to johnlebon.com, you go down to free content, and then you go to Late Night Truth Lounge. And I took the time today to update this page. So all of the previous Late Night Truth Lounges are there, going from episode 1, which was the pilot, episode 2, Boogeyman Speaks, episode 3, is Mr. Beast an AI character? Some people believe it is. Episode 4, the Estonia special. That one is not available because I was not in my best form that night. I think I might have had one or two beers too many. And I'm not proud of it at all. And some other nonsense was going on with that episode. So that one's not available. Unfortunately, that was back when I was still drinking. That was November of last year. Episode 5, Simulation Theory Debunked. Episode 6, Simulation Theory Exposed. And for that one, I went through the paper by Nick Bostrom. See, a lot of people, they hate the simulation theory. They've never actually read Nick Bostrom's paper. And it's not like a thesis. It's not like some 300-page... It's just a few pages, basically. And he just lays out this logical explanation that basically boils down to this. If it's possible for humans to simulate a reality in a way that is convincing, then most likely we're in one. Because once you can simulate one, then people in that one can simulate one, and then they can simulate another one. So you see, it just goes on and on like that. So what are the chances that you're in the original? And that all rests on the idea that humans could build a believable simulation. Now, if you don't accept that premise, you can reject all of the simulation theory as put forward by Nick Bostrom. But at the very least, before you reject these ideas, don't you want to understand where they come from and what they're actually about? And of course, the answer is no. Most people don't give a shit. They just have their opinions that they're usually very passionate about, very dogmatic. The evidence, the underlying notions and concepts and premises, they could not care less. Who, JLB? You want me to read a 20-page paper by it? No, I'm just going to say that simulation theory is wrong. And anyone who says it's real is a shill. Seriously, there are people who are like that. I'm not, like, possibly some people watching right now. That's how you are. JLB, I don't need to read a scientific paper. Anyway, I said to myself, okay, if you're going to do a live show tonight, please don't be critical. Please don't criticize people or things. And I was like, okay, I'll be good. I'll try not to criticize people or things. And I've already started doing it. So deep breaths. Okay, I'm going to try my best to just focus on the good things. Focus on the things that make me happy. And there's many things that make me happy. Many good things, especially at this time of the year. Spring is in the air. And I'm telling you, folks, in the springtime, I don't know of any place that's better to be than Plovdiv, Bulgaria. And I've been to a lot of places, but this place, for a number of reasons, springtime, this is the place to be. Especially if you're drinking, because then you can go out and enjoy the nightlife. If you're sober, then you find yourself at midnight talking to a microphone in an empty room, praying that someone out there understands a single word that you're saying. 11 weeks, folks. That's all right. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Okay, episode number 8. Why are you different? And then episode number 9 from 2 weeks ago. It's all scripted, JLB. Don't you know it's all... Okay, what does that mean?
It means that all the games are rigged.
Do you really believe that?
Yep.
Why?
Just because. I heard some people on YouTube saying that all the games are rigged.
That really is what it boils down to, folks. I'm not kidding. If you speak to someone who says it's all rigged or it's all scripted, and just listen to them, just ask them a couple questions and then listen to them, that's basically what it boils down to. They just repeat what they believe. You ask them why they believe it. They just repeat what they just said. There's no reasoning to it. They're just parroting what they heard from other people. And unfortunately, that is what the so-called truth scene can be, is just people parroting what they heard from each other. Just like any other element of human endeavor on the internet, where people just get into these hive minds and these group things and they just parrot stuff. And when a human hears an idea parroted enough, it just adopts the idea like it's its own. That's how humans are. It's phenomenal. It really is.
It's all scripted.
Okay, How to Win Friends and Influence People by John LeBon. Yeah, yeah, boy.
Are you still driving some car which is 10 years old and barely impresses anybody? Sure, it gets you from A to B, but don't you want to be seen as successful and stylish? Don't you want the comfort of brand new leather seats which nobody has sat in before? At Big Auto Car Yards, we offer no deposit finance, so you can get wheels which turn heads and make you feel like your unfulfilling go-nowhere job is worth driving to once again. So come on down to Big Auto and sign the next 10 years of your life away. Vote with your wallet and support Big Auto today.
Mate, the game's on this weekend. Are you coming over to watch and have a barbecue?
Nah, I'm going over to Danny's to watch, and you should come too.
What? Danny's place? His TV is no good.
Haven't you heard, mate? Danny's binned his old 40-inch HD he bought 4 years ago and got himself a brand new 65-inch OLED Ultra HD TV. It's so crisp and clear, you feel like you're out there playing the game yourself.
Oh, wow. Did he get it from Big Tech Depot?
Of course. Danny voted with his wallet and supported Big Tech, like we all should.
In that case, I'll see you at Danny's.
Adventure, fantasy, romance, action, and plenty for the kids as well. All the escapism you could possibly want, streamed direct to your smart TV device. Bundle our movies and kids package for just $15.99 per month for the first 6 months, and you'll also get access to our comedy catalogue as well, at no extra charge. The Movies and Kids Bundle, with comedy package included, now streaming at Big Media. Vote with your wallet and support Big Media today.
When the winter blues set in, there's only one solution you need to think about. Imagine relaxing on a banana lounge in the middle of a picturesque beach with a gentle breeze swaying in the palm trees as you enjoy your third daiquiri of the afternoon. The worries of the working week a million miles away. At Big Airline Holidays, it's our end of season sale, and we have half-price airfares to the warm and welcoming destinations you dream about. Call our customer hotline. With well-trained professionals who know how to upsell you from a budget 3-day getaway to a bank-breaking week-long 5-star retreat before you even realize you've gotten the credit card out of the wallet. Speaking of wallets, it's important to vote with yours, so book another trip with Big Airline today. So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today.
Here, we see a starving African child
his village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
It wasn't a tent, it was this magnificent thing.
So what we're going to do, I'm going to play some of this voicemail, and let me know in the live stream chat in the comments what you think of this voicemail. I'm going to play the first minute or two, and then I'll give my thoughts, and then we'll just go through this methodically. But I want your thoughts as well in the live stream chat. If you're just joining us late, by the way, this is Late Night Truth Lounge with your host, John LeBon, coming to you from beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria, where it was 20-something degrees and sunny outside today. Absolutely marvelous. I'm so happy about that. And the reason I'm doing this show is because I do these shows maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 weeks. It depends how I feel. And I got home tonight and I was like, I'm not going out. I'm not going to go out. I don't care who texts me. I'm not going out tonight. Because I went out last night. And some of the people I went out with were fun, interesting people. Some of them were not. And in the past, I could just be like, okay, I'm getting another beer. Just get a few beers into me, and even the most boring people, they become interesting. Even the most unfun people, I have fun with them, as long as I'm drinking. But if I'm not drinking, it's actually painful to be around some of these people. They're nice people, don't get me wrong. But I would literally rather sit here, talking to myself, talking to a Blue Yeti microphone, talking to all of you beautiful people around the world. I would literally rather do this than be out there where the action is, because, like I just said to you, it can be painful. And last night was a bit painful. And I'm like, okay, that's enough going out for this weekend. I'm going to sit here. So I decided to do this live stream. And we're talking about, and this is also painful, we're talking about flat earth. We're talking about flat earth. I know. How did it come to this, folks? How did it come to this? Well, I've got some good news. The guy who left the voicemail, I think, is genuinely interested to get to the bottom of it, which is very different from most people who talk about flat earth, who've either decided that it's real, or they've decided that the earth is a giant spinning ball flying through space. And see, the people who have either of these beliefs, they're not trying to get to the bottom of anything. They're just here to pass the time. They've got 60 or 70 years on God's green earth, and they're going to waste as much of it as they can parroting what they've heard from other people. Evidence means nothing to these people. But some people want to get to the bottom of things, and I think Winston's one of them. So on that happy note, let's listen to Winston's voicemail. This came through about a week or two ago. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, John. My name is Winston. I listened to some of your podcasts, and I just sent you a few emails. So if you get a chance, maybe you can look at it. I was wondering if you could get to the bottom of something. Eric Dubai says that if you try to fly to the South Pole, that the military will intercept you and shoot you down. But there's no website at all, not one on the internet that says that. And the Antarctic Treaty does not say that. So I don't know where Eric Dubai gets that. But I think this question is very key, because if you had a private plane and you took off from Australia or New Zealand, and you tried to cross the Antarctica continent, that would get to the bottom of what shape the Earth is, right? I mean, why aren't the flat earthers trying to do that or talking about it? There's nothing on the internet that says they'll be shot down.
Okay, so first things first, thank you, Winston, for the voicemail and for the emails. So Winston is not a member of johnlebon.com, and up until a week or two ago, I don't think I'd ever heard of this particular fellow. I got these emails out of the blue with all of this stuff about, here's what I've been looking into, here's my questions for you, etc. And I could tell he put thought into the emails. And I sent him back a reply saying, basically, that's a lot of stuff you've sent me, man. I don't really have the time to go through all of it, but I sent him a link to something with some of my ideas. And then he left these voicemails as well around the same time. And again, like I said, I like it when people are genuinely curious about this stuff, which I believe, and we're going to listen to the rest of this voicemail, based on his voicemail and his emails, I believe this guy is genuine. He's trying to get to the bottom of what's going on here. So that's why I'm giving this time. If it was just any person sending an email saying, JLB, the earth is flat, I would just ignore it. Or if they sent me an email saying, JLB, I listened to that podcast where you debated the spinning ball earthers, and I don't think you were... Okay, I would just ignore it. Whereas this guy, I think, is genuinely interested no more. So to answer his first question about Eric Dubé. Eric Dubé. I chatted with Eric Dubé back in 2015 when the FE thing was big. And it was one of my favorite interviews of all time. And I have done, 40-something conversations. I did 50 of the ARP podcasts back in the day. I've done dozens and dozens of live streams that have featured lots of people. I've chatted with a bunch of people at fakeologist.com and what have you. So of all of the people I've spoken to, all the people I've interviewed or just chatted with on live streams or whatever, the one with Eric Dubé was one of my favorites of all time for a bunch of reasons. And I read his book, The Flat Earth Conspiracy, back in 2015. I read the book, I took notes, read the whole thing from start to finish, took notes, got a good idea of who this guy was and where he was coming from. Then I got to chat with him. That was a lot of fun as well. And I've got nothing bad to say about Eric Dubé or the guy or his work in general. What I will say is that anybody who is telling you that you cannot go to Antarctica, my question would be, have you tried? If their answer is no, which it will be, the next question is, so why are you so confident that you can't do it? If the answer is because the government said, my next question would be, do you believe everything the government tells you? So you see, this is a very simple process to go through. Now, can you go to Antarctica? I don't know. Will I ever try? Probably not. If I had the money, maybe I would. How much would it cost to get a boat? I think it'd cost a lot of money. I don't think you can take any old boat. And you would need to know, like, how to sail. Or you would need to know, say, diesel mechanics. Or you need to know how to fix it. Like, there's skills that you would need. There's people that you would need with you. So it wouldn't be a simple expedition. So it would cost a lot of money. So I don't think I'll ever have enough money to do it. But hypothetically, if I was a Bitcoin billionaire, I would love to try to do this, to go to Antarctica and just see what happens. Is a US military boat or an Australian military boat going to come and stop you? I doubt it, but it's possible. And then if they do come and try and stop you, what are they going to do? Open fire? What are they going to do? Like board the vessel? Board the vessel? Like that guy in that movie, like, I'm the captain now. Like, I don't know, guys. I'm telling you, I don't know. And I don't think any of you know either. And if any of these flat earth people are saying that they know, I'm saying I don't think they do. But it might help their story that they're selling you if they tell you certain things, such as you can't go to Antarctica.
Every website, aviation website, says that they don't recommend you do that. But if you do, you should charter a flight with a professional pilot who knows what he's doing. So it is legal to fly to the South Pole or the North Pole. It's just that flat earthers tend to be hippies, so they're not going to have the money to charter a flight usually. Okay, they just sit and complain and bitch like Eric Dubé does. But Eric Dubé refuses to answer this question. He keeps making up that the military will shoot you down if you try to fly over Antarctica. But there's no evidence for that. I don't see a single website that says that. So I don't know where he gets that. And I was wondering if you could get to the bottom of this, because I think it's a central issue, because it would resolve whether the Antarctica is the edge of a flat earth or not, or what's beyond the poles. You know, there might be something beyond that they're hiding from us, like another continent, like Admiral Byrd said. So yeah, I think this is major. And I also think that, a similar issue is with the North Pole. I mean, why can't somebody from Iceland, or Greenland try or the northern part of Russia try to fly over?
Well, the thing is, according to some of the people pushing flat earth, at least back in 2015, 16, even if you could go right across the North Pole, they wouldn't debunk the FE model, the so-called model, because on their model, that's just the middle of a circle. Some of them anyway, like they wouldn't prove anything. The thing that would prove something would be somebody going across the South Pole, because that would just obliterate FE. Not that it hasn't already been obliterated in multiple ways, including by your main man, JLB. Yeah, yeah, boy, it has been. But this would also do it. Not that it would make a difference to anything. As I learned the hard way back in 2015, these people don't care about the evidence. What they care about is the story. And guess what? That makes them human. Humans love stories. Humans live for stories. Stories is how humans operate in the world. That's just a natural thing. It's not a bad thing. And some people really love the idea that they're living on a flat earth. Or maybe the earth isn't flat, but it's flat-ish or something like that. And these people, they're the ones who've discovered the truth, right? And it's this niche thing that gives them a sense of togetherness, a sense of belonging, a sense of superiority, perhaps. Hey, we've got the truth. By the way, that's not just a flat earth thing. Anything in this corner of the internet can have the same effect. Even some things that are true. So for example, let me just give an example. Suppose you believe that Osama bin Laden did not do 9/11, for argument's sake. Well, most people believe that he did. So if you have come to believe that he didn't, and that there were no planes that day, the planes were fake, for argument's sake, some people, they can be very fascinated by this idea because now they're the ones with the truth. They're the ones who know stuff that the other people don't know. They're smarter than the others, etc. This can happen with anything. I'm not saying it's just a flat earth thing. But the flat earthers in particular, at least back when I was mixing in those circles, this was a huge part of it. And a lot of them believed that it was going to go big. A lot of them, this is dead set. They believed that the flat earth truth, it's going to go from 5% to 95% overnight. Right? It's going to get big suddenly. And I remember when someone said that to me on a live stream, somebody who I was on good terms with, and I was cordial with these people. I wasn't trying to be antagonistic, but somebody said that to me. The flat earth is going to, this was back in 2015-16, folks. Someone said to me, it's going to go from 5% to 95% overnight. And I remember I paused for a few seconds and I was like, what the hell are you talking about? It's not even close to 5%. Like, what are you basing this on? And of course, what I was going through was a bit of a cognitive dissonance of my own where I had been wrongly, naively, foolishly, projecting how my mind works onto other people's. And of course, it doesn't work that way. So whereas my mind is like, okay, what's the evidence? And so if you're going to believe, for example, that some truth is going to go big overnight, and he didn't mean literally overnight, he means, you know, in a short space of time. When has that ever happened? Okay, if you're going to say something's going to happen, what's the precedent? Can you name for me some esoteric truth that went mainstream in a short space of time? No. So why would you think that's going to happen? And of all the things where that could happen, why would you think it'd be the so-called flat earth? Why? Because Tila Tequila's talking about it? Because some basketballer, some NBA basketballer's talking about it? Because Barack Obama says, we don't have time for a meeting of the flat earth society. Right? Is that why? This is just ridiculous stuff. Anyway, I got sidetracked there. Again, I should have said this, folks. If anyone listens to this and in your reality flat earth is real, I'm not trying to take that away from you. I know how important stories are to all of us. And your story isn't really any stupider than the story that I used to believe, which is that we live on a giant spinning ball hurtling through space. I used to fully believe that. Fully believed it. Didn't even question it. It seemed to make so much sense at the time. Yeah, we live in a ball. And we spin around once a day. And then every year we go around the sun. It's a journey of millions of kilometers. And then the sun is also on a journey. So we're kind of spinning around the sun as the sun's on a journey around this thing called a galaxy. And we're actually moving. I mean, just the spin of the Earth, we're moving at hundreds of meters a second. Depending on, you know, which part of the world you live in, obviously. And then the Earth itself around the sun. Now we're talking, what is it, thousands of meters a second? And then the sun through the galaxy. Now we're talking thousands of meters. It all made so much sense, folks. It really did. Nice to believe it. So I'm not trying to take away the flat earth from people. And I've explained this before. A lot of my frustration at all of this, I'm not frustrated with you. I'm frustrated with me. And I'm a bit disappointed at myself that I treated some people with so much respect when they don't even treat themselves with any respect. And I thought they cared about the evidence when it should have been clear to me in not too much time that the evidence means nothing to these people. That's my fault. That's not anybody else's fault. So if you detect any frustration about Flat Earth from me, that's frustration with me, not with you. You guys can believe whatever you like.
Over the North Pole and see if there's a polar opening or whatever they're trying to hide there or some type of vortex there, like a lot of, you know, truthers say. Again, nobody says you'll be shot down if you do. Only Eric Dubai says that. So I'm wondering where he gets that and why doesn't someone with a private plane do that? I guess people that are rich enough to have a private plane, I mean, they're focused on they're going to be focused on their business or their retirement. You know, they're going to be people that play with the system and play by the rules. They're not going to be the type of people that question reality. The type of people that question reality would usually be like hippies, you know, that don't have the money to try to charter their own flight or buy their own airplane, you know. That's what I would guess, okay? And that's why no one that's wealthy and has a private plane tries to do that, because people that are wealthy play by the system and they're not questioning reality, so they don't think about doing that. Either they're retired and enjoying life or they're focused on growing their business or something. And that's why I think people wealthy enough to have a plane don't try to do this kind of thing.
Well, I think most people who are wealthy enough to have their own planes, like you said, Winston, they're busy living their lives and the shape of the earth is not a concern for them. Whereas the people who talk about Flat Earth a lot, they make it out like it's the most important thing. What they used to say, some of the leading FE people back in 1516, they called it the umbrella conspiracy, right? As in, it doesn't matter what conspiracy theories you believe in. They're all subordinate to, they're all less important than the shape of the earth. And a lot of people believe to this stuff. Whereas Winston, I agree with you, is someone who had the means to fly over the South Pole, for argument's sake. They're probably busy leading their lives having fun. Imagine the fun you could have with millions of dollars. My goodness gracious me. The amount of...
I
won't say it.
There's a 5-minute limit to this.
Yeah, there is a 5-minute limit, but that's okay.
So I was wondering, you mentioned that the books and texts from history only go back to the 1800s, but what about this book in the 1700s called The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire?
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Let's say that there was a book written in the 1700s. Fine, let's go with that. How far back are we going? 300 years? 300 years. So my issue is, with the history stuff, is if you take a story of history, it could be Plato, it could be Caesar, it could be Herodotus, it could be Sophocles, it could be any of these characters. You read a history book about it today, and that book will claim to have sources, right, in the references or the bibliography, or just in the footnotes at the bottom of the page. What I'm saying is that no one's checking those. Anybody is, nobody. But if you were to do that, then you would go and find another book, okay? Because the book today is supposedly getting its information from another book. So if you were to go and check that book for yourself, that book would also claim to have its information from another source. Okay, cool. So if you were to go and check that book, which again, nobody does, but if you were to do that and follow this process, a lot of people seem to believe that that information all comes from some reliable primary source. Okay, that's what most people seem to believe. What I'm saying is, based on the research that I've done, the dozens and dozens and dozens of hours of just getting books and reading them, going to their references and getting those books, the amount of time that goes into this, it's not hard work, it just takes time, which is probably one of the main reasons why no one does this. Based on all the time I've spent doing this, it never goes back more than a few hundred years. And once you get to those books, there are no sources, there are no references. It's just a story. So suppose you go to your local Barnes and Noble or whatever bookstore is near you. Generally, there will be a fiction section and a non-fiction section or some demarcation along those lines. With fiction books, you don't expect references. It's just a story. But with non-fiction, you expect references because they're meant to be basing the information on something. What I'm saying is that if you read these non-fiction books and check their sources and just go back just a few levels, eventually you'll get to a book that is just like the fiction books. No references, no nothing. So imagine if today someone went to your local Barnes & Noble, to the fiction part of the store, got the book, and it was some fictional book about some woman who loves some guy named Gray, and he loves his methods of loving her, for argument's sake, right? And then that guy said, I'm going to write a non-fiction book about this fiction book. And he wrote about that Gray guy as though it was a real thing. And he had references and footnotes to 50 Shades of Grey. And he called the book Great Lovers of the 20th Century. And then imagine in 10 years someone else came along and he wrote a book about the peccadilloes of men in the 20th century. And one of his references was Great Lovers of the 20th Century. And one of the references of that book was 50 Shades of Grey. What I'm suggesting to you is at a certain point, because no one's checking the references, you would eventually get to a stage where people think they're reading real history about some dude named Gray and his bedroom full of ropes and swings and whatever else that guy was doing in that book is going to be real because someone has come and taken that fictional story and made a non-fiction story about it and no one checked the sources. Then someone used that as a source and all of a sudden it's a real story in history. I know how ridiculous that sounds. That is what has happened with ancient Greece, ancient Rome, ancient China, the whole lot, even the Bible. That is exactly what's happened. Someone has written a story with no references a few hundred years ago. Someone has taken that and used it as a reference for a non-fiction book or encyclopedia or whatever. Someone's taken that and... So you see, it's a very simple process here. I know how outrageous all of this sounds. I do. I also know that no one's going to try and debunk me because they're too busy. Everybody's too busy, right? And then if anyone were to come along and check what I'm saying, they would discover what I've discovered, which is that our written history, the literary evidence, doesn't go back more than a few hundred years. It's an amazing thing. And once you see the wireframe mesh, as I call it, once you really see it for yourself, just hearing me talk about it is not the same. It's something you have to do. It's an experience. You have to pick a topic of history, find out what is a story today, find the sources, go and find those sources, read them yourself, find their sources, find them, read them. It's a process you've got to go through, okay? And if you go through the process, by the end of it, you'll never look at the world the same way again. And all of the people you take seriously as truth tellers, these YouTubers and podcasters and authors and stuff, you won't be able to take them seriously anymore because they're still talking about stories of history like they're real. Like imagine if you were watching a YouTuber and you thought he was really smart, because he doesn't believe in red versus blue politics. He doesn't believe in the so-called shootings. Like, he seems so smart because he's worked out the TV's lying. But then he started talking about some dude named Gray who liked to use handcuffs or something, right? And he's talked about it like it was a real story. And you're like, no, that's a fictional story. That's not a real thing. You would lose respect for that guy. That's how I feel about everyone who talks about ancient history like it's real, which is pretty much everybody. So I would suggest to those of you listening to me right now, all around the world here at johnlebon.com, and via Podbean or via YouTube or wherever you're watching or listening to this, I would just advise you forget everything I just said for the last 5 or 6 minutes and just go on living your life as though history is real. Life is a lot easier that way, in some sense.
Edward Gibbons?
Yeah, Edward Gibbons. So in the research that I did to do with the stories of history, and I spoke about this on the High Side Chats with Greg Carwood, what was it, 6 years ago now? The research that I was doing into some of these ancient characters and ancient stories, when you trace the sources, it gets back to Edward Gibbon. So then I tried to trace his sources, and they go nowhere, just like I was explaining. He just makes stuff up. In fact, the editor in one of Gibbon's books that's republished these days, the editor himself notes that Gibbon just made up a story. I'm not making this up, folks. You can check this for yourself. Just go and get a copy of Edward Gibbon's book, one of his books, and just read it. Just read it. Just read what's in there for yourself. Like, even the sources that are supposed to be historical, within them, it's admitted this stuff is just make-believe. It's like, no one's... Is anyone actually reading this stuff? It can start to send you a little bit mad because you're thinking to yourself, hold on, I'm not that smart. I'm not, really. I'm just some schmuck from the outer suburbs of Melbourne, Australia. That's all I am. Just some schmuck. I'm really not that smart. So how come I've been able to figure out this stuff? And how come nobody else has? And then you start to think, maybe none of these people are actually reading. Like they say that they are. But maybe they're not. Or maybe what they're reading is just sports biographies. Or books about... what's that one? Eat, Pray, Love. Books about going on adventures to foreign tropical lands and having love affairs and getting into yoga and manifesting, like all this stuff. Okay, great. At least they're reading something, but is anybody reading the sources of history? No. I think me and some of the people I mix with in my tiny little quarter of the internet, I think we're the only ones. And this bothered me for a couple of years because I couldn't understand what was going on. I was like, hold on. I can't be the only one who's able to read. Anyone can find these books. They're not hard to find. And I started to think, how is it that I'm the only one who's realizing what's in them? And I couldn't make sense of it. But I've come up with a theory that I think explains all of it. It's not a theory that many of you guys want to hear. Let me know in the live stream chat. Do you think you're ready to find out why people don't know about this stuff? Tell me in the live stream chat if you think you're ready to hear it. I know you're probably going to say that you think you are. My reply to you is going to be, okay, great. Have you gone and read those books though? Like the Edwin Gibbon one, for example. Have you tried to go and read it for yourself? You know the answer is no. So my question for you will be, why? And your response will be, because you're too busy, right? You're too busy. Yes, of course you are. You're too busy. You know, you've got a job and you've got an iPad and you've got a smartphone and you've got to catch up with your friends for a coffee or a beer and you've got that Netflix show that just came out that you've got to binge watch and you're a busy person, right? Yeah, but that's... Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That is supposed to be a groundbreaking historical text about the Roman Empire.
Yeah, it's supposed
to
be.
It was written in the 1700s, and yeah. I was wondering if you looked at that and...
As a matter of fact, I did. And so the link that I sent to Winston, the email that I sent as a reply to him, or that I would send to anybody who comes to me with this stuff is, first of all, I talked about this on my appearance on the High Side Chats with Greg Carwood back in 2018, I want to say. And then the second thing I would say is, you can just check this for yourself. If a book tells you it's from the 1700s, awesome. Go and get the book. You can get PDFs of anything these days. You don't even need the physical copy to get started with this. Just find the PDF of the book and then just read it. See what you notice.
If you were able to determine if that was real or a hoax, because that wasn't brought up when you did those interviews about fake history, so yeah.
It was brought up in my chat with Greg Carwood of the High Side Chats. In fact, not only was it brought up, but I made this handy-dandy image to share with him. So on the upload page for my appearance on High Side Chats, he includes that image, which I will find right now, actually.
I was wondering about that, too. Anyways, thank you for listening to this. And if you get the chance, maybe you can answer a couple of my emails that I sent you. Again, my name is Winston. And yeah. Yeah. Thanks for all your podcasts. They were very, very interesting. And I think we're on the same wavelength about Eastern Europe, too. And I also mentioned that in one of my emails. So yeah, check that out when you get the chance. Okay. Well, have a good day. Bye bye.
Thank you very much, Winston, for this thoughtful voicemail and for the thoughtful emails. I'll come back and talk more about Winston in a moment. But first, here is my chat with Eric Dubé, which, like I said, of all of the stuff that I've done in the last 10 years, this is still one of my favorites. Now, I re-uploaded this because the original YouTube channel was, of course, destroyed by YouTube. So the original upload is no longer available. And I believe it's no longer available on Eric's channel either. I think his channel, his original channel, might have been Kibosh too. This got over 100,000 views on his channel. And then who knows how many views it got elsewhere over the internet. So the channel got kiboshed, but I re-uploaded it for the members of johnlebon.com. But you don't need to be a member. I also found a copy of it on BitChute. So somebody has a copy of it, and they've uploaded it to BitChute. So if you just try to Google John LeBon, Eric Dubay, you will find a copy of that Baller Skeptic Roundtable. And interestingly enough, this upload by a guy called Rico Rosie has 420 views and 4 up, 2 thumbs down. So a 42042. Make of that what you will. So Rico Rosie re-uploaded that. That's just one re-upload. I found another one. So there's multiple uploads of this around the internet. You can hear me chatting with Eric Dubay. And interestingly enough, during that chat, I asked him, do you believe history is real? Because by that time, I'd begun my research into history. I hadn't quite cracked the case yet, but I knew I was onto something. And one of the stories that Eric was telling was about, you know, that story of Eratosthenes, the story of the sticks and the shadows. So according to the official story, there was a guy who determined the circumference of the earth or the distance from earth to the so-called planets or the other bodies, effectively using sticks and shadows. So in one place, he looked at the shadow down a well or something. Then he went to another town, and there he looked at the shadow at the same time of day or something like this, did some maths, and voila, you're on a ball and it's this far away from the sun. What, something like this, guys. This is a very broad retelling of the official story. My issue was this Eratosthenes guy from thousands of years ago, how do we know that he actually existed? And so I asked Eric Dubay about that in this Baller Skeptic Roundtable episode. And I was afraid, because at the time I had a lot of admiration for Eric Dubay. Not that I'm saying that I don't now, but, you know, you learn different things. And, you know, at that time I thought he was the one flat earth person who was doing really good work. And like I said, I read his book, took the notes, and I got a lot out of it. And so I was very happy to talk with him. And I was hoping that he would not say that Eratosthenes was definitely real. But I was concerned that maybe he would. But his answer was, in my opinion, a good one. Basically, if I can remember I'm going to paraphrase what he said. It was along the lines of, no, that history could be fake as well. The whole story of Eratosthenes could be fake. I think was basically what he was saying. And I was like, good, because that's what I've come up with so far. And at that time, my research was still in its early days. But that's what I'd come up with, that the whole thing could be fake. So anyway, you can find that. You can just Google John LeBon, Eric Dubay, or Eric Dubay, John LeBon, and you'll find some re-uploads of this is out there. I think some, maybe even most of the Baller Skeptic Roundtable series is out there somewhere. Now, I've got copies of all of them, which I can make available for people at johnlebon.com. But I think if you search hard enough, you will find other people have copies that they've re-uploaded, which is fine by me. I'm happy about that. You just need to search. Whereas for me, what I do for the members of johnlebon.com is I can just take them and then turn them into MP3 files and upload them. And that's the effort that I'm happy to put in for the people who make what I do possible by supporting independent media at johnlebon.com. So the people who support what I do, I go out of my way to make stuff available to them. The people who don't support what I do, the good news is they can still find a lot of my material. It's out there somewhere, like the Baller Skeptic Roundtable, this one with Eric Dubay. Okay, now, I did say that I provided an image for my chat with Greg Carwood of the High Side Chats that actually featured Edward Gibbon. So let me see if I can work out how I can find this on johnlebon.com. I know I've got that image somewhere. It's there somewhere, but how can I find it? Maybe it'll be in the History of Histories, I think is the piece that I got that image from. So if I go to the History of Histories now, let's take a look here. For the listeners all around the world, by the way, you are listening to Late Night Truth Lounge episode number 10. You're probably listening to the MP3 version. That's what gets most downloads and listens. But for the people who are watching on the screen, I've got this article that I wrote back in 2017, the History of Histories. Let me just see if I can find that image. Might have been in the first one. Let's go to that first one. These articles take days and days to research and write, folks, because you've got to read so many different books and check so many references. It's incredible. And that's one of the reasons why I think so few people do this kind of work. That's one of the reasons. Okay, let me just scroll up here. Is this where I had the image embedded? Let's have a look. I think this might be the one. We're going back quite a few years here, folks. No, it wasn't this article. All right. I wrote a lot of articles back then. Oh, that's right. It was the burning of the Library of Alexandria. All right. Let's go to my article about... Because remember, guys, there was a library. Guys, there was this library in Alexandria and had the world's knowledge, human's knowledge from thousands of years was collected in this special library in Alexandria. But then it burnt to the ground. I'm sure you've heard this story before. Yeah, that's all a hoax. And the reason I am saying that is because I went to check what is the what's the evidence for this story. And I checked the source. Here it is. Here's the image, folks. I told you I'd find it. All right, so Library of Alexandria. For those of you listening, like, I know this is annoying because, you know, I'm talking about something that you can't see. This is the Library of Alexandria. I put together this handy-dandy visualization of the timeline so I can explain it to those of you who are listening. But for those of you who are watching the live stream, you can see this on your screen right now. So imagine a normal person today. He's sitting there in his Mickey Mouse pajamas, drinking his coffee, and he's looking at his computer, and he's reading a Wikipedia page about the so-called Library of Alexandria, okay? On Wikipedia, there's a whole bunch of sources and references, whatever. But the vast majority of them are for the last 20, 30 years. Now, obviously, the Library of Alexandria story didn't start 20 or 30 years ago. We want to find the old references. What's the oldest information we can find about this story, okay? Because in theory, someone didn't just invent it 30 years ago or even 100 years ago. In theory, it's a story that's been passed down in the literary evidence, in the historical record, in theory. So if we just start off with the official story today, you go to Wikipedia, you go to the Library of Alexandria, and you look at their references, okay? Their bibliography, if you like, and you try to find the old sources. They'll go to Edward Gibbon. If you watch the Carl Sagan episode, what was his show called again? Cosmos. The Carl Sagan episode of Cosmos, same thing. He cites Edward Gibbon, okay? Now, Edward Gibbon cites a guy called Haverback, right? So I went and found Haverback's work, or Haverkamp, right? I went and found his work. So you go from today to the late 1700s. So I went and read the book that Edward Gibbon cites. Okay, so Gibbons isn't saying, hey, I'm making up this story. He's saying, no, I've got this story from some other guy. That's how it's meant to work with the references. So that other guy, I went and found his work, right? This Haverback, aka Haverkamp. Now, he says that he got the story from Orosius, and he was just translating it. So I went to try and find the story by Orosius, okay? This all takes time that no one's going to put in. All right, so the story of the Library of Alexandria supposedly comes from Orosius, all right, from roughly a couple hundred years BC. Here's the problem, folks. Orosius didn't even mention a large library, let alone the Great Library of Alexandria, let alone some burning of the Library of Alexandria. Okay, didn't even mention it. Now, I know this all sounds too hard to believe. There's an easy way to confirm or deny what I'm saying. Just go and find the texts and read them. That's all you've got to do. If I'm wrong, you can debunk me very easily. If I'm right, you can verify what I'm saying very easily. Yes, it takes time, a lot of time, but it's not difficult. You just got to read. Here's the problem, though, as I see it. We're all too busy. Everyone's too busy. I'm too busy, JLB. I'm too busy. I'm doing important stuff over here. This new TV show just dropped on Netflix, and I've got to binge watch all of this TV show. You know what I mean? I've got to watch the Bitcoin price chart, because I've got 0.1 of a Bitcoin.
And you can buy a fraction of a Bitcoin, and it will go up. Guaranteed.
That's my truth uncle, Ab, saying that Bitcoin is going to go up guaranteed. So, folks, I've actually got more voicemails I want to go through, but that one, how long have we been going for here? We've been going for an hour already, and I've only got through one voicemail. So I might save the other voicemails for the next episode of the JLB Late Night Truth Lounge. That's what I might do. Let's go to the live stream comments. I'm going to read out your comments, and then we're going to go to the Fakeologist Discord server and see what they're talking about and maybe live stream the conversation over there. Maybe. Maybe not. Let's find out. But first, I've got to read some of your live stream comments, folks. That's what I said I would do, and that's what I'm going to do. So let's go and see what people are saying in the live stream chat. Let's go and find out.
See all of these people smiling and having fun? See their white teeth and bright eyes and trim figures. See how they're laughing and dancing and surrounded by friends of all kinds? They're reading the chocolates from the Big Sugar Favourites collection. It comes in a colourful box and there's 50 different bite-sized pieces of gooey goodness in every pack. You'll feel happy as soon as you put the Favourites box in your shopping cart. Then you can get home and dive into your favourite chocolates wrapped in wrappers of blue, red, green, orange and more. Vote with your wallet and support Big Sugar today.
It's that one special day every little girl dreams about. Surrounded by friends, family and their motley crew of plus ones. Dressed like a princess, the star of the show and the centre of attention for an entire day. At Big Wedding Services, we tailor each and every celebration to your personal needs. You'll feel like the belle of the ball and have photos to cherish for the rest of your life, or as long as the marriage lasts, which is usually a few years at least. Venue hire is only 2x what you'd pay for any other event, and the flower bill should, most likely, come into less than $2,000. Nothing when you consider how important it is that you'll be the special princess for the day. Pick and choose which of your sisters and friends who make the cut to get into your bridal party. Be the boss you always wanted to be. Vote with your daddy or husband's wallet and support Big Wedding today. And for the guys, just let her spend whatever she wants. After all, what is she marrying you for in the first place?
I like my burgers zesty fried.
And I like my chicken wraps long and wide.
Throw in some cola, ultra size.
And don't forget a pound of crispy fries.
A family meal for just $29.95.
Support Big Fast Food and you'll feel alive.
Hey, Big Fast Food, do it your way.
In a time of conformity, when everybody seems to be the same, there's no better way to prove that you're an individual than by getting a tattoo, just like everybody else. Stand out from the crowd with your very own permanent reminder that you're special and your memories can't be taken away from you, other than with laser removal, which we also offer with a 20% discount for repeat customers. Come on down to Big Tattoo Parlor and get yourself marked like the individual you know you are. Vote with your wallet and support Big Tattoo today. The new season's here and that means it's time to bet on the games. At Big Bookie, we have so many betting markets it'll make your head spin. Bet on first goal scorer, last goal scorer, which direction the wind will be blowing, what colour underwear the referee will be wearing, and so much more. Let's go to retired professional player to give us his pick of the week.
Well, it's round one and that means there's some good odds to be found. My retired pro multi of the week is Jones first goal scorer, Brown last goal scorer, wind blowing northeasterly, and the referee to be wearing black undies. Multi it all together for odds of 3-1, 1-1, and win big this weekend.
Get the app on your phone for even better odds, and for alerts if you go even 1 week without placing a Hail Mary multi. No cold turkey for you. This app will keep you hooked. So vote with your wallet and support Big Bookie today. So you've got the good news, and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today. Here, we see a starving African child. His village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
With regard to nobody died, nobody got hurt in these wars.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
You're a babbler and you're an antichrist.
If you're just joining us late, this is the Late Night Truth Lounge episode number 10. I began streaming on April 6. It is now April 7, here in beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria, where it is springtime. And boy, am I happy about that. And I am 79 days sober. Not a drop of alcohol. And I can tell you, folks, I was tempted. Because I was out last weekend, and it was someone's birthday. And he was having an awesome time. And he had a crowd with him. And he had some action with him as well. And next thing you knew, we were at some underground speakeasy. And it was pretty full on. Okay? The kind of place I would have loved to have been 4 months ago. But when you're sober, it's not the same experience. And then this guy was buying a round of shots, and then this person was buying a round of shots, and then there was all this other stuff going on, and everyone was having a good time, and I just couldn't get into it. Could I? And the thought did go through my head. I was like, bro, you can just drink. Like, whatever point you were trying to prove, I think 11 weeks, at that time I guess it was 10 weeks, I think 10 weeks is enough. You've lost a lot of weight. You're looking and feeling a lot better. I think for this guy's birthday, you can just... And I was like, no, I can't go back to that life again. I know where that road leads, and that's a place I don't want to be. Waking up in the middle of the night, night sweats, horrible, horrible nightmares about car accidents, people dying young, really horrible stuff. Can't go back there, folks. Can't go back there. Until I get to 3 months sober. Once I get to 3 months sober, all bets are off. What was I saying? Oh, yes, that's why I'm doing this live stream. Because it's a Saturday night, and I'm not going out. Not while I'm sober. But I know that most of you guys are indulging in alcohol and or... What do they call it? I can't call it weed anymore. My truth uncle Dave J says you don't call it weed because that gives it bad connotations. What does he call it? Cannabis. Is that what he calls it? Let's call it that. I know most of you listening to this are either on alcohol or cannabis or some other drugs. And I say good for you. I say enjoy your life. Obviously, you don't want to overdo it, but if you're doing an amount that makes you happy but doesn't have too many deleterious effects, I say go for it, folks. I really do. I'm not anti-alcohol or anti-drugs. I'm not. Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. But not me. I've just finished my third coffee of the... I mean, that is a drug. That is a drug, isn't it? Which had another coffee. I wish it was like a 24-7 coffee place. It'd be nice. Anyway, David Sawyer says that JLB is the best truther alive. And I'm not blowing smoke either over here. Well, thank you, David Sawyer. I appreciate that. Adam Cook says, good on you for getting 11 weeks sober, JLB. Thank you, Adam Cook. It's really not that difficult to stay sober. Unless I'm around people. Then it becomes challenging. For me. But that's my problem and not yours. And I should stop talking about it. Clockwork 113 says, yes, the echo chamber. He's talking about this idea that in the truth scene, people do get stuck into these echo chambers. It does happen. It's a natural thing. Daniela Kay says... Okay, so her username is Daniela K, and the avatar is like, you know that pose that some women do with their hands? It's like, I guess Asian women sometimes do this in their avatars, like with their hands underneath their chins. I wonder if Daniela K is really a girl, if this is one of those people who LARPs as a girl online. Daniela, inquiring minds want to know. Daniela says this, what if the earth is not flat nor a spinning ball? That's a very good question, Daniela. What if we don't have to choose between flat Earth and spinning ball Earth? What if we don't have to choose between one of these two ridiculous options? That's a great question. Why are more people not asking this obvious question? They Lie We Say... Hold on again, let me try this again. They Lie We See says, why not? I'm not sure who that question... It's not to me anyway. Gigi Abilin says, Eric Dubay, Dubai. Yeah, so it's Eric Dubay, I think. But in the beginning, some people called him Eric Dubai. Some people accidentally, some people intentionally, whatever. As far as I know, Eric Dubay is one of the successful people out of the whole FE thing. He's one of the people who did it well. He wrote books and he sold books. He had a website. He got people to go and check out his other books. He did interviews and presented his ideas as best as he could. And a lot of people gravitated to it. And he built himself up quite a following. Probably literally thousands of people will watch any video he uploads or read his tweets or whatever. Like, he's got a good, strong following, I think. And I don't necessarily agree with all of the stuff that he says. You know, if you read his book, like actually read his book, don't just buy it, but actually read it. The last couple of chapters are pretty full on, and they're not about flat Earth. And I have never heard anyone else say that. I've heard lots of people talk about Eric Debay. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about the stuff that Debay talks about at the end of his book, which is one of the many reasons why I don't believe anyone does read these books. Even the ones who buy them don't read them. It really is remarkable. But yeah, there's some trippy shit at the end of his book, which I don't necessarily agree with. But I can enjoy stuff, even if I don't agree with it, if it's thought-provoking, which Dubé's work definitely is. So he had thought-provoking work, he spoke well, he released some funny material. I think he released a video where he was wearing a dress pretending that he was Patricia Steer. Man, we're going back. Good times. All right. You know, my point is he was trying to be creative. I like creative people. People who are trying to make you laugh, trying to like do parodies or satires of the other people in the scene. I find this stuff good. And he was doing all of that. So if he has built himself up a decent income stream and a decent following doing what he does, I say good luck to the guy. Good on him. But I can't comment on anything he's done in the last few years. I stopped following FE many years ago once I realized what I was dealing with. Okay, what else have we got here? Hilly says, yeah, boy. It's called Stories Stupid. I think that's in reference to what I was saying earlier about how humans love stories. They do. We're humans. We love stories. It's just a lot of people can't tell a difference between a make-believe story and a story that's based on evidence that anyone can check for themselves. They don't understand the distinction between these things. It's all one thing. The subjective and the objective is all one thing in their minds. It's phenomenal. If you're someone who has spent years and years projecting the way your mind works onto others, assuming they're the same, and then coming to realize, holy crap, this person doesn't actually know the difference between objective and subject. Oh my God. What the hell? These people, most of these people, don't understand the difference between objective and subjective. So the reality that they're in, whatever stories they believe, there is no difference between make-believe and real. It's all the same thing. It's really remarkable, folks. If you're someone who, like me, was a bit autismo and didn't understand what was going on, to suddenly understand it, it's like, you know, in the movies, how they'll use this trick with cameras where they will move the physical camera away from the subject, away from the actor, but zoom in, or vice versa. So the subject, the main character on the screen remains the same size, but the background either zooms in or out. That's what it's like when you realize, holy shit, these people, most of them, there is no distinction between objective and subjective reality. There is no, well, here's what I'd rather believe, here's what makes me happy, but here's what's based on the evidence that anyone can check. And they're different things, there's some overlap, but no, they don't understand the difference. It's all one thing. So if somebody convinces them, for argument's sake, that they're part of a flat earth movement, that becomes objective reality to them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Not, oh, well, I like this story and I'm... No, that's the story now. That's their world. That's the world they live in. And it's like, oh my God. And then you start to realize this is how most of them, even most of my own audience, this is how they interact with the world. Oh my God. Anyway, Truth Seeking Troll says, JLB, enough monologuing. Explain the reason why you don't think the earth is flat. I'm listening. This stream is about to be damn near 1 hour, and I have yet to hear one argument against the earth being flat. Brad Fraser says, can someone provide the link to the peer-reviewed studies proving the earth is a spinning ball? I can't do that for you. I don't happen to believe we live on a spinning ball, Brad, but I wish you the best of luck with your search. Rob Files says, I'm sure Paul Watson and C. Shepherd still go down to the Ross Sea from Hobart. Maybe the flat earth hippies can combine forces with the Sea Shepherd hippies. Hey, Rob, I can tell you something. I've traveled not all of this world, but a lot of it, and I've met a lot of people, and I can tell you that I once heard a story, which is just a story, could be real, could be fake, but I heard it from somebody who I happen to trust based on how long I've known him and how well I know him. This is a person that I'm in real life. And some of the things that he saw with his eyeballs, he tells me, when he was involved with some of these anti-whaling people. So I wasn't there, I don't know if it's true. but I believe this guy's testimony. And let's just say that, for example, a lot of people on the internet, they live action role play as though they're these healthy people who, I would never put those chemicals in my butt. But in real life, they overweight, probably haven't been to a gym indoor or outdoor in 10 years. But on the internet, they get to pretend that they're these healthy people and their body's their temple. Yeah, it's the same thing with a lot of these people who, you know, they're anti-whaling or they're anti-meat. They're vegans, right? But if you know them in real life, apparently, maybe not so much. Anyway, I'm just adjusting how I sit here. There we go, that's a bit more comfortable. Alrighty. Okay, so Ugo Chukwu is in the house. Waterman Chris says, I looked into the Salem witch trials and the Aztec mass murder. I couldn't find any evidence. The furthest back date that I could go was the 1800s. That doesn't surprise me, Waterman Chris. Rob Files says, if JLB is a true Melburnian, then he should be able to finish this sentence. Okay, Rob Files, if you were a true Melburnian, you wouldn't write Melburnian like that. For some reason, Melburnian isn't spelt the same as Melbourne, or Melbourne, as we call it. But you've spelt it the wrong way. You've spelt it the way that somebody who isn't from Melbourne would spell it. So I know that I'm 10 minutes behind with the live stream chat. When I catch up to the front, I want to see an explanation from you as to how you could misspell the demonym of a Melburnian. So the word that we give to a person from the city is a Melburnian, but you've spelt it the wrong way. So are you really a Melburnian, Rob Files? Inquiring minds want to know. Linda Curtis says, I don't read these old books because I always thought history was BS. 2020 validated my thoughts on it. That's fair enough. Linda Curtis. All right, let's see. Stop Hoaxing says, Dubé is almost undefeated. Stop Hoaxing. Always cool to see this dude in the live stream chat. He has a YouTube channel where he used to upload really cool videos. If he's who I'm thinking of, I think he's the guy I'm thinking of. He's from back in the day when there was a so-called truth movement. This is like 8, 9, 10 years ago. And then, of course, there was that plane crash in Taiwan, which split the truth movement. Then Flat Earth came along, which split it even further. And it just doesn't exist anymore. Alrighty. Who else is in the live stream chat? Calcified in a Boulder says, people always make a dichotomy of you're either a flat earther or a globe earther. Anytime I discuss the topic with someone in either camp, they always end up strawmanning my positions. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Calcified in a Boulder. CIB, as I'll call you from now on. Humans are very simple creatures. They want simple explanations and they love good versus bad, right versus wrong, blue versus red, up versus down. They love dichotomies because then they get to fall into one camp and the other camp is the evil group or the wrong group or whatever. That's how humans operate. And so when Flat Earth came along, both sides were very clever with this. They set up shop such as that they were one side and the other team was the other side and that was it. So there was no third voice, there was no third way. They were all squeezed out. And then they started having these so-called debates between the spinning ball earthers and the flat earthers. And they would have these debates week after week after week after week after week. And every time the followers of both groups would be like, yay, we won. And then they would send money to their leaders. So you see, it was like The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin needed The Rock. The Rock needed Stone Cold Steve Austin. If you get what I'm trying to say. Now, once they're off stage, once they're back in the locker rooms, once they're away from the theatrics of the whole thing, for all we know, those guys were friends in real life. I don't know. They could have been. It wouldn't make a difference. What matters is that when they walk out on stage, some people hate The Rock. Some people love him. Some people hate Stone Cold Steve Austin. Some people love him. They're going to have a fight. One of them is going to quote-unquote win. The whole crowd's going to love it. And they'll be back for more next month or next week. Or next WrestleMania. Okay? Same thing. Meanwhile, the people on the side who are like, hold on a second. What if the earth is neither flat nor a giant spinning ball? Nope. Weren't given attention. Weren't given attention. Those people are not useful to the operation that's going on. If you get what I'm trying to convey to you. Okay, Napoleon Wilson is in the house. He says Dolly Zoom. Thank you, Napoleon. That's what I'm trying to talk about, the old Dolly Zoom. Okay, let's just zoom out. I need to catch up with my live stream chat. We are way behind schedule here, folks. Way behind schedule, but we'll catch up. Let's see. Rob Files says, born and raised, JLB. Just finished a sentence. Okay, now he spells born, B-O-U-R-N-E. So maybe he's playing 4D chess. Maybe he's stooging me. Because now he's misspelling born. And of course, I'm talking about how he misspelled Melbourne. Maybe I haven't given this guy enough credit. Or maybe I'm giving him way too much credit. I don't know. Okay, more than 50 people in the live stream chat. If you just joined us late, this is a Late Night Truth Lounge episode number 10. I'm your main man, JLB, coming to you from beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria. What we're going to do on the other side of this break, I'm going to come back and I'm going to join the Fakeologist Discord live on the air. Now, this is a big risk because you never know what's going to be happening over there. And there are some people at Fakeologist are intelligent, thoughtful, pleasant people. There are also some people over there who are missing one or more or all of those qualities. And so it might turn into quite a poo fest, for want of better terminology. It could become a shit show, folks, live on the air. That's a risk that I'm willing to take. So I hope you guys are ready for that. But first, we have to go to a quick break. So I'm going to play, let's see, do I want to play Seats and People by PK and the Metascriptors? Do I want to play Some Guy Ate a Bat in China by Gully Squad? Or do I want to play the new smash hit that is taking the techno charts by storm here in Europe? This is called Stop It by Dave J and the Metascriptors. This is a 2-minute track. I'll be back on the other side of this, folks.
You're listening to Bonversations. We appreciate and thank all of the supporters who made this possible. Now have yourself a lovely day.
I would have said it started about 11:22.
I was a little inebriated and showed him some pictures that I shouldn't have, and he hasn't shut up about it since.
I just want to let everyone know how much I appreciate the value that Velo brings to the channel.
But, Scott Morrison is a woman, like John Howard's a woman, George Bush is a woman.
You know you're a liar.
Your 250 epic times $25,000 is worth $6.25 million. Now, is that nuts? Is that crazy?
That's a lie. That didn't happen.
You're in the naughty corner, Roller. You're in the naughty corner. And if I had my way, Melisette would be in the naughty corner next to you with a big pointy dunce hat on.
Stop it.
Indian owners of service stations won't let you use their toilets.
I'm one of those people that never use service station toilets.
Accidents can happen. I think I need to explain this again to you.
That guy was a professional, high-level government operative.
Bitcoin transfers, you know, when I sent you Bitcoin, hello?
When did you send me Bitcoin?
And Epic. You got some Epic too, I think.
If you're stupid, you can't see it. Most people are fucking stupid.
Yeah, all gay. Gay and Jewish.
We spotted a number of trannies.
Low point in Bello's career. Low point.
Oh man, that's fucking terrible.
So I'm sick of these drops. Oh my
dude,
god,
seriously,
it's driving me mental. A taste of my own medicine is so fucking annoying.
Every big major Hollywood star is a Jew. Trust me.
John LeBon, Friedman, he was saying, this is terrible.
Yeah, fine. So what?
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witness.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is 5 blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
That's a lie. That didn't happen.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
From the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th Truck 8, those guys were all right there at Ground Zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there. Hopefully, they made it out.
Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
What was happening around you, in the streets around you, as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint of 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back.
Stop it.
So there was Stop It by Dave J and the Meta Scripters. This one is taking the dance charts by storm here in Eastern Europe. You'd better believe it. Goodness gracious me. Yeah, yeah, boy. Alrighty, so where was I? Oh, yeah, so guys, we're going to take a big risk here. For the last half hour of the show, I'm going to pop in to the Fakeologist Discord and see what's going on over there. And it could be fun. It could be a productive, constructive, pleasant, cordial conversation. Or it could be a complete disaster. Now, I'm not crashing their party. I'm not turning up unexpected or unannounced or uninvited. I announced that I would be there. They're expecting me there. I'm told that I'm more than welcome there. But we're going to find out. So this is live radio, folks. This is 50 people watching live all around the world. And I'm not, unless this is a total nuclear disaster, I'm not going to edit this for the MP3 upload tomorrow. Because as you guys know, we did the live stream. Then I set that to private, take the audio, get rid of the dead air and the nonsense at the beginning when I'm doing the audio balance, add in a few clips from the people who support us here at johnlebon.com, such as the good folks over at Big Radiation Clinics. If you've just got the news that you've got a little one on the way, then you must go to Big Radiation Clinics to find out if it's a boy or a girl. You must do that. It's very important. And Big Radiation Clinics will take care of you. Yeah, yeah, boy. So I add in the clips from the supporters of johnlebon.com, such as Big Radiation Clinics. I get rid of the dead air, and then I publish it to Podbean, which means you can stream or download it for free, either via Podbean, via johnlebon.com, or via your favorite podcast app, or whatever people use. I don't know. I don't use that stuff, so I'm pretty sure you can get it through Spotify and stuff. Maybe you're listening to this via Spotify right now, and you're like, yeah, JLB, of course you can. I just don't know. I'm old-fashioned. I like the idea of go to someone's website, and they put the MP3 there, and you just download it. Which is how Joe Rogan used to be, by the way. And that's another thing, too. I was talking about, this is on like an episode a few months ago, I was talking about how I can't listen to Joe Rogan anymore, because you can't just go to his website and download the episodes. You've got to go through all this hassle and nonsense, right? And then one of my listeners, maybe they're listening right now, she went and found the most popular Joe Rogan episodes from the last year. She ripped them to MP3 and sent them to me and said, hey, JLB, I heard you saying that you can't listen to these episodes. Well, I found some that you might find interesting, and I uploaded them for you as MP3. And I was like, wow, that is such a nice thing to do. Just out of the blue. So there are some good people out there listening to what I do here, and I'm very grateful. I was meant to say this at the beginning. Guys, I don't know how long I'm going to do this for. I could do this for another week, another month. I could do this for another 10 years. I don't know. But most likely at some point, I won't be doing this anymore. And I would like to think that in the future, I'll look back at this time and be like, man, I was so lucky. Yeah, a lot of the audience, they were not very bright people. And a lot of them were not very good people either. And that used to piss me off a little bit. But that was just one portion of the audience. There was this other portion who were really nice people, who sent nice emails, or who left nice comments, or took the time to rip Joe Rogan episodes to MP3 to send it to me because they knew that I didn't know how to do that, or didn't have the time to do that, or didn't care to do it, but they did it for me. You know the JLB logo, the JLB in the green circle? Someone made that for me all these years ago. I just had like a simple logo that I made in MS Paint. This is serious. My JLB logo was a green circle and just JLB in the center. That's it. That was my logo. Someone then went and created the JLB. Let me show you this, right? If you go to johnlebon.com, let's scroll back here. If you go to the banner, in the middle of the banner, you see the modern JLB logo, right? Let's just scroll up here. Let's have a look. Man, that was a massive article. That took so long to write that. Anyway, so this JLB circle here, someone made that for me. They took the template, I guess, that I made for this old rudimentary, just terrible looking JLB in a circle, and they somehow created this, and they sent it to me out of the blue. So there are people out there, they do things, or they send tips. Get this, some people send tips. There's a JLB tips section. You can send tips. If you're like, hey man, I enjoy that show, I can send you $5 or $10. Someone sent me $33 the other day. $33, that's Australian dollars, which in American dollars is like, I don't know, $20. It's not really the amount that matters, it's just the fact that there are some people out there who appreciate what I do, and they send me tips, or they send me nice emails, or they leave nice comments. Sometimes I meet them in real life, they buy me dinner. Like, there are people who appreciate what I do. Sometimes I've had people send me emails saying that they didn't radiate their babies because they had listened to one of my shows, and then they did their own research and discovered the truth about radiation, and so they didn't do it to their babies. Like, this is really positive stuff that I'm super grateful for. So I hope that the me in the future, if he has stopped podcasting for whatever reason, or if he's just left the internet altogether or whatever, I just hope that he doesn't look back and focus on the troglodytes and the flotsam and the jetsam, which is what most of the act realm is. I hope he focuses on the good, because there is good out there. There are good people out there. There is some benefit that comes from all of this. And I'm grateful that I get to do this and do a live stream, and 50 people are watching live. No notice, no announcement. I just start streaming one day and 50 people turn up. And then the next day, 200, 400 people download or stream the MP3 upload. It's cool to have an audience of people who listen to stuff. Even if a lot of that audience, I don't really like them. There are people in the audience where I do like them. And that's what I should focus on. And I'm very grateful. So to anybody out there who is actually a good person and who does appreciate what I do, then I'm glad that you exist. And I hope that you're enjoying John Le Bon circa 2024. Because obviously I'm a different person to what I was 10 years ago. Because I was replaced by my CIAs. They worked out that John Le Bon, he was going to cause a big problem for the system. So they whacked him. And then they hired me to replace him, to mislead the truth movement, and to, I don't know, focus on whatever, you know. So, yeah, this has been a great career, working for my CIAs, getting paid just enough money to cover my $300 a month rent. $300 US a month is what I pay for my rent here. My CIAs, they're really spending big on their talent. And, yes, what a great career it's been. Hopefully they... I'm hoping to get stations. I'm hoping to transfer to that island where all the celebrities go when they die. You know, when their public image is destroyed. I'm hoping that my next posting, after 10 years of doing this John Le Bon stuff, I hope my next posting is to that island where the dead celebrities go to party for the rest of their days. But unfortunately, that's the most popular one, and that's what the one that everyone applies for. But I think my body of work over the last 10 years, like, no one has given more to my CIAs than your main man, John Le Bon 2, who replaced John Le Bon 1, who replaced some other guy from the outskirts of Melbourne, circa 2014. I think I deserve that plum position. I think I do. I've been working hard for 10 years, man. Don't even have a producer. Had to make my own freaking soundboard.
You're a corpse. Yeah, you're a spiritual corpse. You might as well be a meat puppet walking around.
Thank you, Dave J. Okay, so guys, get ready. This could be good, this could be bad. We're about to go and check out fakeologist.com live on the air. I hope this goes well. There are some nice people over there, folks. There really are. There are some decent people over there. There's also some not so nice people. But let's manifest. Let's deep breaths, positive thoughts. We're going to go there and have a good conversation with people who are aware of media fakery. And we're going to ask them, what's up? What are you talking about? They're going to say stuff that is interesting. I'm going to read the live stream comments. I'm going to play my soundboard, and we're going to have fun. That's what's going to happen, because we believe in it. We're trying to be in the right wavelength with happiness and springtime and sunshine and lovely emails from people all around the world. And everything is going to be splendid. That's the plan.
I need you to walk into that closet naked for 3 days.
The plan might not work out. Let's go and check it out, guys. Here we go. Fakeologist live on the air. Let's see what happens. All right. So it turns out...
Our recording.
It turns out there's no one here in the Fakeologist live stream. So what you're listening to right now will be published by Fakeologist tomorrow. He does the live stream that he then publishes as an MP3 the next day. Not too dissimilar to what I do, although I polish my MP3s up. I get rid of the dead air and I balance the audios if I have to and all the rest of it. So he's a truck driver. He has a full-time job truck driver and he has a wife and two children. Hold on. This is the ad break for Fakeologist.
Toronto.
If you're within the sound of my voice, you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. That's a fact.
Hi, it's Streamerbit. The date is April 6, 2024 here on the north shore of Lake Ontario in Toronto. To listen live, please go to fake11.com/radio2. To join in, please go to fake11.com/discord. Now back to our show. Can one of our hosts tell us who's here in the audio chat right now?
Yeah, so in the audio chat right now is John LeBond coming to you from beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria. I'm actually live streaming episode number 10 of the Late Night Truth Lounge, hosted by John LeBond. And in today's episode, we focused on Flat Earth, because I got a voicemail from some guy called Winston, who sounds, to me, thoughtful, articulate, and curious. He wants to know. He wants to get to the bottom of why do some people say, for example, that you cannot go to Antarctica? What are they basing this claim on? And what I said was, I don't believe they're basing it on direct experience. I think they're just parroting stories, is what I said. Now, for some reason, and I thought we sorted this out, Ab the Fakeologist, the Discord buttons on your stream, on your Discord, don't include the buttons that I uploaded, even though they're supposed to. And we fixed this up before I went live to air for Late Night Truth Lounge number 10. So we did all of the technical stuff before I started streaming, specifically so I could come back to Fakeologist and do my live stream here and include the soundboard, which I think adds a whole another dimension to the show. But now I come back here while we're live on the air and the buttons are gone. So this is quite a little problem, I have to say. So I was looking forward to streaming through Fakeologist Discord and chatting with a lot of people here. But if there's no JLB soundboard, I'm afraid it's not going to be possible. So I guess we're going to have to leave the Fakeologist experiment there, but we can come back and try this again on the 11th Late Night Truth Lounge. But my rules are no JLB soundboard, no JLB. So I'm going to go back to the JLB Discord server where I can use a soundboard. So let's do that right now. Yeah, yeah, boy. So we're coming up to an hour 40. Goodness gracious me, an hour 40. So I'm going to have to wrap this show up soon. I will be back for another Late Night Truth Lounge eventually. And so if this Late Night Truth Lounge gets a really positive response, either in the comments, or I get some really nice emails, or maybe even a nice tip or three, I'll be inspired to come back sooner. If that doesn't happen, I'll just come back in 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whenever I feel like it, and we'll do episode number 11. So let's round out this episode, shall we, by going through the live stream comments. That's what we like to do here at johnlebond.com. Yeah, yeah, boy. I like to include the audience in the whole process. I like to record for posterity their thoughts. What are they thinking? What are people thinking all around the world here at johnlebond.com and the John LeBond YouTube channel? Let's go and check it out. Linda Curtis says, hey, JLB, ask Ab about the zero woman rant. So Linda's talking about this. There's a character at fakeologist.com. Do I have any of his clips on my soundboard? Maybe I do. Let's find out. I've got a ton of clips on my hold on. Let's go. I have to join the purgatory, do I? Confirm. Here we go. All right. Oh, no. Join the room. We'll get there, folks. There it is. There's my soundboard. Do I have any of Zero's clips on my soundboard? No, I don't. I used to, but I had to get rid of some of them to make room for the others. So I don't think I have any of Zero's clips. Nope. I've got this one, though, from Rick.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
This is a common belief, folks. There are people out there who believe that your fridge is notifying the government on what you are eating. So let me know in the live stream chat what you make about this. Have you heard the theory? Okay, jokes aside, folks, apparently people are now buying fridges with cameras in them. And the story goes that people are doing this so that when they're shopping, they can press a button on their phone that will show them in real time what's in their fridge, and that can help them to remember what they need to buy as part of their shopping. I think that's the story for why you would buy a fridge with a camera in it. I didn't know about that until I heard Rick talking about... Well, you heard what he said. Let's listen to this again.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
Yeah, so I thought Rick must be getting this idea from somewhere. So I started looking into it. And it turns out, I didn't know this. So thanks to Rick for bringing this to my attention, you know, tangentially, that people are buying fridges with cameras in them now. Yes, this is a thing. Maybe some of you listening to me right now all around the world here at johnthebond.com, maybe you bought a fridge with a camera in it. Okay? Maybe you wanted to be able to log into your fridge when you're out and about doing your shopping to see what's in your fridge. Okay? Probably some of you listening, that is actually what you've done. And you know what? If as long as you're happy, I'm happy. I'm not trying to criticize you for that. It's just very strange to me. You have to understand I'm a dinosaur. I'm from the olden times, before people had cameras in their fridges. And I know that's very strange. So those of you who've got with the times, and now you open your smartphone by looking at it, and it does an iris scan, you think I'm the strange one. I get it. I'm from the olden... I'm a dinosaur. My fridge here, this fridge, it's probably from Soviet times. It's not even turned on. My fridge isn't even plugged in. I don't even use a fridge. Now, that wasn't a problem 2 months ago, because I could just put stuff outside where it was cold. Now that it's warm out there, I need to reconsider the fridge situation. Maybe I need to buy a new fridge. I don't like that fridge. It's too loud. That's why I turned it off. But now that the warm weather is here, if I ever do have anything... It's very rare that I have stuff I want to put in the fridge, but if I do, where am I going to put it? Because outside's no longer going to cut the mustard. I need to work on that. Anyhow, my fridge, even if it was plugged in, there's no cameras in there. This fridge, I think, was built around the time that the Berlin Wall came down. Possibly earlier than that. But some of you have fridges with cameras in them. And so what Rick seems to be suggesting...
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
What Rick seems to be suggesting is that, yeah, you might use your camera in your fridge to see if you need to buy eggs on the way home. But anybody else, say the government, could also be peering into your fridge. Ipso facto, your fridge is informing the government on what you're eating. I know it sounds crazy, folks. Let me know what you think in the comments section below. What else is going on? We've got, let's see. We've got Dave J. Maybe Dave J will call into the show. Hold on.
You're cutting out, Wayne.
Oh, boy.
One guess who it is, Ed.
Dave J.
Guess who it is.
Oh, come on.
Guess who?
That's Dave J. He's been calling into the Fakeologist audio chats a fair bit lately. I find him, you know, Dave J., when he's behaving himself, when he's trying to be good, not only do I think he's very intelligent and has important things to say, he's got a really cool wit, I think, when he uses it well. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, he wants to use his powers for evil. And that's why he pisses a lot of people off. But when he's being good, he's probably one of the funniest people in the whole scene, and one of the most insightful as well. Okay, so who else have we got on the soundboard? This is Ab talking about Fakeologist.com.
We do talk about fake and gay all the time, yes.
That's straight from the horse's mouth. What was that, Ab? I didn't quite catch that.
We do talk about fake and gay all the time, yes.
Stop it.
Guys, I know this is nowhere near as funny to you as it is to me, but I have to say, the soundboard really does add a whole new dimension. So my plan is to sort out this voice meter banana problem so I can make a full soundboard in time for the next episode. But it really is a pain, guys. It really is a pain. And in the meantime, I'm trying to get to the bottom of some of the most important conspiracies of our time.
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
So you see, the idea is you put the different clips that you want close to each other so you can put them together, if you get what I'm trying to say. So, for example, there are some people who believe that a lot of the celebrities are not how they're presenting themselves.
But Scott Morrison is a woman. Like, John Howard's a woman. George Bush is a woman.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Have you ever had something that you find very amusing, but you're fully aware that to most other people, it's nowhere near as amusing? For me, that's what the soundboard is. I totally get that most people don't find this anywhere as amusing as I do, but I can't get enough of this. Check this one out.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
That's Alex Jones appearing on Joe Rogan. And as you guys know, I've got bonversations.com where I interview different people from around the world. One of the earlier interviews from a couple of years ago was with a guy called Uncle Epic, and he was talking about his Epic coins.
Your 250 Epic times $25,000 is worth $6.25 million. Now, is that nuts? Is that crazy?
And of course, you heard that in Stop It by Dave J and the Metascriptors, which is taking the Eastern European dance charts by storm. Yeah, yeah, boy. I'll read a couple more live stream comments and then we need to wrap this one up. Still more than 40 people watching live from around the world. I've got to say, it's good to have you all here. As I was explaining a little bit earlier. Okay, so Simon says 50 human studies in utero conducted in modern China indicate extreme risk for prenatal ultrasound, a new bibliography by Jim West. And Jim West is one of only two people I know who've published books about this. The other one being Janice Barcello, who I interviewed for a Bonversation, which you can find. It is available publicly at bonversations.com. My episode with Janice Barcello is there. And we focused, because her book is about a whole ton of stuff, but I wanted to focus on the ultrasound. So when I say that her book's about a ton of stuff, I mean about birth trauma and what hospitals really do to babies. And I was like, I could talk about this for days and days, but what I need to focus on is the stuff that I've also researched for myself, which is the so-called ultrasound, which is, of course, in fact, radiation. And speaking of that, I have to say that the show has been supported by some lovely people all around the world, and we do have some supporters, and I normally include their clips when I upload these episodes post-facto, that is the next day. But for today, what I think I'll do is just play one of those ads, but I don't have them all separate, they're all in one big file. Okay, so that is the sports betting one. What's this one?
Wind blowing northeasterly.
That's still the sports betting one. What else we got here? Breeze can't be taken. Okay, that's the tattoo one. Okay, how about this?
Lion today. Adventure, fantasy, romance, action.
Oh, I remember when I made those ads. Those took hours and hours to make those. You've got no idea how happy I was when I was... That took hours and hours to script, record, edit, and produce those advertisements. And yeah, I was very proud of my... creative output. But where's the one about ultrasound?
Cares about the truth anymore.
Okay, now that's the World Vision one. Where is the...
Each and every celebration to...
Okay, that's the wedding one. What else have we got here?
After all.
Yeah, that's good stuff. What else?
As you enjoy your third dakiri...
Okay, that's the holidays. See, these are all things... I'm sure most of you work this out for yourselves. Those advertisements, the companies that support me here at johnlebon.com, they're all advertisements to do with stuff that people spend the money on. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have money, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, they're eating chocolates, colourful chocolates. They're going on holidays that are two or three times more expensive than they planned, but they got talked into it by a salesperson at a flight centre booking place. They're spending tens of thousands of dollars on weddings for marriages that usually break down within 10 years. They're buying new cars even though... Or they're getting finance for new cars even though the previous car was perfectly fine. It just didn't impress people enough. So people are spending money. People have money. And so the idea with the advertisements is to kind of suggest in a somewhat amusing fashion that people are spending... That people are voting with their wallets every day. And so if you ever wonder... Why is there so little independent content out there that's even halfway good? The answer is because people don't support it, because people don't really care. That is what it all boils down to. This is neither a good thing nor a bad thing. It's just reality, okay? It's like, for example, why aren't sports like chess? Why isn't chess televised on TV? Yes, some people love chess, but not enough people would watch it to make it worth putting on ESPN. Whereas... the college finals of football, lots of people love that. Lots of people will tune in. And lots of people, if they see their favorite athletes eating Subway in an advertisement, will go and eat Subway. And that's why Subway will spend millions of dollars to pay those people to pretend to eat that food because they know that the lemmings watching at home, enough of them will then go and eat Subway. Do you see what I'm trying to say here? It's about how much do people care. So people are voting with their eyeballs and with their ears and with their wallets every day. That's kind of the point of these advertisements. But I can't find my one about Big Radiation, who are huge supporters of us here at johnthebond.com and very much appreciate. So a few more comments and we'll get out of here, folks. What else have we got here? Calcified in a Boulder says, it's like when I introduce people to the television show Jarn. Everyone else is horrified or taking it really seriously, and I'm howling with laughter. Okay, I've never heard of Jarn, but I'll take your word for it. Ms. L says, the discard count track sit. Okay, sometimes people in the live stream chat have their own conversations, and I can't really follow it while I'm monologuing the way that I do. Mum with Sons says, the Kroger card tells them what I buy for food. The Kroger card. I don't even know what that is, I'll be honest. Gigi Abilene says that Fridge was a character in the Jumanji movies. Jumanji. I remember seeing that when I was a kid. With Robin Williams, right? Man, I haven't seen that one in years. Might have to go back and rewatch it. Linda Curtis says that Ab, Toby, and Zero was there just a few minutes ago. Well, here's what I'll do. I'll go back to the Fakeologist Discord once I wrap up this live show, which I'll do in just a moment. And a whole bunch of people leaving comments. Oh, there we go. Palmer Elrich says Crisis Actor Island. Yeah, hopefully my next posting for my CIAs is on one of those islands with the crisis actors or the fake dead celebrities. Something like, so hopefully somewhere tropical. Don't get me wrong, I love Plovdiv in the spring and the summer, but the winter's not as fun. And also, you know, talking about the so-called truth for 10 years, and then you start to realize that it's actually right there in front of you if you just read books, but no one wants to do that. So it starts to become a very isolating, almost alienating experience to go and read scientific studies and books and to talk about what you found in them. And then other people have no interest in that at all. They just want to parrot stories. So you have to dress, like you have to take what you found and then dress it up in an entertaining way or else no one cares. Because they don't really care about the facts. They just care about being entertained. And then it's like, well, fair enough, but that's not how I got into this. And the whole experience, you know, 10 years is a long time, folks. It's a long time to be doing one thing. So hopefully my next posting is serving daiquiris to Heath Ledger and to all of the other fake dead celebrities. Hopefully. That'd be nice. Not an easy posting to get, though, I have to say. Very, very competitive to get in there. Well, folks, I've enjoyed bringing this to you. This has been the Late Night Truth Lounge episode number 10. Big thanks to Winston for leaving the voicemail and for those emails you sent. And big thanks to the very small number of people who've sent tips the way of John LeBon. If you like independent media, you've got to support it one way or another. So send me nice emails saying that you find this stuff worthy of my time. Or leave nice voicemails. Or send me a nice tip. Or do something to let me know that you're out there and that you value this kind of thing. And I could. I mean, the dream is, the hope is, one day I'll be doing this show more often. But there's no point doing these shows two or three times a week if the total amount of benefit that people get from it is minuscule. You know what I'm trying to say? I'll keep it to once or maybe twice a month. But maybe one day we'll get to a stage where there's a dozen voicemails a week and there's a dozen different tips a week and there's three or four really nice emails every week saying, hey man, I heard what you said about this thing and I went and double checked it. Turns out that what you said was correct and therefore we made some change. Like that. That's what I'm hoping for, folks. I want to entertain people. I want to inform people. I want to have fun. I want to feel like what I'm doing is worth my time and your time. So please support what we do here at johnthebond.com. And if you can't support us, then vote with your wallet and support big chocolates, big alcohol, big gambling, big wedding, big radiation, of course. They're our primary sponsors here at johnthebond.com. Big holidays, big auto. Vote with your wallets, folks. You're already doing that. You're already voting with your wallets. What are you voting for? There's a very small number of people who vote for what I do here at johnthebond.com. Now, what we didn't get time to talk about was this episode of Quantum Leap. So I'll come back and talk about that at some point in the future. Of course, I've already released 10 hours. I've released 10 hours broken up into 10 different files of falling down the rabbit hole, where I talk about what we call synchromysticism, media fakery, history fakery. I take all of these topics, put them together, and come up with what I think is going on in the world. And you can access all of this at johnthebond.com. If you go to johnthebond.com, let me show you the latest installment. This is part six. So parts one, two, and three were all 1 hour, and then each part became 2 or 3 hours, and that's how we got up to 10 hours and counting. This is Falling Down the Rabbit Hole, where I talk about what I think is really going on. If you're a member of johnlebon.com, you can access this and all of the other content that's just for members at johnlebon.com. I've already published more than 30 hours of exclusive content for the people who support what I do. But if you're not one of those people, that's cool. There's a ton of free content there as well, including the first hour of all these conversations and these late night truth lounges. So I'm putting out a ton of content. I hope you're enjoying it. Thanks to all the people who do support what I do. And we're going to go. And thanks to the people who left the nice live stream comments as well. Thanks for coming and enjoying this show. I hope you're enjoying it. I'm trying to enjoy it as best I can with my third coffee of the day. Maybe next time I'll bring a spare coffee. I don't know. I need to perk up a little bit. But I'm getting there, folks. Things are good here in beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria. Thanks for asking. Thank you for asking is what I'm trying to say. And we're going to go out with a song. We're going to go out with Seats and People by PK and the Metascriptors. So one final time, thanks to all of you. I'm being quite serious here. Thanks to those of you who value independent content like what I put out. This only happens because some people truly appreciate it, and I appreciate you. So that's it for today. Episode number 10 on April 6th and April 7th, 2024. Your main man, JLB, coming to you from beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria, with my soundboard. And I've got so many clips I didn't even get to play here so far. Like this one, for instance. Rollo down there in Newcastle. Goodness gracious.
Have you at least gone to a lawyer to get their advice?
Yeah.
And did, what did
that
say?
And then I wanted to drown that lawyer underneath the ocean.
Well, that's no good.
Because I will probably end up going to jail.
Accidents can happen. I think I need to explain this again to you.
How dare you?
You like being that dog. You like being that tough guy.
That guy was a professional, high-level government operative. Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
I need you to walk into that closet naked for 3 days.
If anyone's been on a plane, you'd realize that, I don't know what the percentage would be, 80, 85% of the plane is made up of seats. Someone go through this footage of the orange shit on YouTube, anywhere. Show me, where do you see seats? I haven't seen one yet. Like I said, it's probably 80%. The whole plane is just made out of seats and people. Seats and people. And yet, in this bullshit that we see here, we don't see any seats and we don't see any people. Seats and 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 people. Plane is just made out of seats and people. Where do you see seats? I haven't seen one yet.